1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, I am Scott.
And I'm Daniel.
And we are Scott and Daniel.
Sometimes known as Daniel and Scott.
Oftentimes known as Daniel and Scott and Scott and Daniel and Daniel Scottman.
And welcome back to our show.
Welcome back to our show. I'm going to send you some audio that's going to be peaking, Daniel, and I just turned my mic down a little bit.
Peaking, so, is that with a Q-U-E, like you've piqued my interest? Like,
I think so. It's going to be, I'm going to peg the needle, as we used to say in the business long, long ago.
Pardon me, my audio's a bit crunchy.
I got crunchy audio, and I've pegged the needle at the very beginning, but I now have got it so that it's not doing that, and you can fix it in post.
Do you have any kind of news noise here? I have an update. I have a show update from something that we talked about long ago on another episode. So, you know, yeah, there you go. My coworker who used to listen to our show is no longer my coworker. He quit. So I don't know. I don't know if it had to do with our show.
Oh, man. Could have been
anything.
Man, I sent him packing for too many fucks.
Yeah. Probably. I do not care. I cannot work with a man that works with a man that cusses. And so he left, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I wish him the very best. And I would like to say, if you're still listening, Daniel's coworker, it's
former
very important.
Daniel's former coworker.
Daniel's former coworker. It's very important to keep this in mind. Shit, fuck, pussy, goddamn, cunty, crap, fucky, fucky, fart, fuck.
The views of Scott Bullock are not those of the show, its sponsors, or we don't have sponsors. What the fuck am I talking about?
We don't have fucking sponsors for this pile of wormy dog shit.
This isn't Mix Minus. What the hell am I thinking about? Anyway,
fuck.
How you doing, Scott?
You know, Daniel, there are times when I'm just so fucking fantastic that I can't even put into words how good I feel.
Wait, and I've never experienced those.
This isn't one of them.
I know, I was going to say, I've never experienced those with you.
Thank you for stepping on the joke, Daniel, but that's okay. You got a little joke.
You
got a little joke on the underside of your shoe.
You want to do it again?
No.
Take two.
I would ask this, though. Mm-hmm. How are you, Daniel?
I am doing excellent. Thank you for asking. It's been crazy at work because my boss left and then the person who I was going to then report to also quit.
Whoa.
And,
well, your boss quit?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you may have mentioned that last
show,
but once again, okay,
and then,
I'm sorry.
I'm old and I drink. That's right. But then the person I was going to report to, which would have been his boss, she quit.
And the coworker quit.
And a coworker quit, and now I'm just in this little weird bubble thing where I'm kind of floating around. I have no...
What were you? Were you all in the Trump's cabinet? Why are you all quitting, jumping
shit? I don't know. It's like
left and right.
Various different reasons. It's not a monolithic reason, right? It's not, they gave different.
Monolithic Reason was my stripper name in the late 70s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Monolithic Reason.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, so, well, then there's upheaval in your office.
There is, but I think it's, for the most part, okay, because I still have my core group that I work with, and we're pretty committed to doing what we're doing. And so, you know, we're gonna sink or swim together, I think. So we got some stuff that we're about to hit upper management with that will either blow them away or will blow us out of the company. One or the two.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I'm going to start an internal podcast and, that's Adam Burns. He's doing that. I'm not doing that.
Is he going to make an internal? You know what? I can't understand what he does for a living. He uses the terminology, obviously, of his work that, and I've lost it now because I'm old and I'm drinking. Yeah, a product. I'm a product. I own a lot of products.
Yes.
I own a shit ton of products, but I don't get paid for owning a product.
Well, then you don't own the right products.
Well, I need to talk to Adam because somebody's got to tell me about this owning products and making a living out of it.
I mean, I can give you an answer, but it would be hideously boring. It has
well,
to.
Well, can you do it? Can you do it?
I'm going to try.
Yeah, just compress it. And remember, you're talking to a very old person.
All right. So in a lot of tech companies, we work in an environment called Agile. And it's just a methodology of how you produce software. But at the core of agile software development is teams. So there's a development team. There's multiple development teams that all work together on making software. And on those teams, you will have developers, QA, and scrum masters, and a product owner. The product owner is the person who's responsible for the end result of that team. They're the ones that go up to the management above them and pitch the ideas for it and take the blame if it goes bad, or takes the praise
if it
goes well.
Why is it called product, though? I don't understand.
Because what the team is going to produce is a product. Everything around agile software deals with producing working software. We have a concept in there called MVP, which is the mineable...
Yes.
Minimal viable product. I can't talk. Minimal viable product. So when we design software, we do it in segments of time called sprints, which can be 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And what we say is, for this first sprint, when we're first designing the software, we're going to do X within this 3 week period. But at the end of that 3 week period, we have a working product. It doesn't won't do
can
everything
you,
that it's going
you,
to do, but it
can
it,
you give
it,
me
it
an example of what a product is?
A product is a piece of software.
A piece of software. So a piece of software that is going to alphabetize all of the stuff in your store.
Correct.
That's what the software is going to do.
So an inventory, yes. Yeah. So let's say
so
an
that's
inventory.
So that's a product.
That is a product. It's like, we'll call it inventory manager plus or whatever. And it's
alphabetically there. Everything that's in the store.
Right.
Okay,
but what we do is we just break that work down into really tiny little chunks. But the whole concept is that as you're developing, you always have something that can run, something that can be demoed, something that can be looked at, as opposed to taking 6 months to go write software and then just, or 6 years to write software and then just dumping it all at once going, hey, here it is. We've been in seclusion for the last 6 years and here's our product. And everyone goes, that's totally not what we want. So it all has to do with iterative software. Regardless, on a team, the person that's like where the buck stops is the product owner. And that Adam is a product owner for his team.
Got it. Now, a completely unrelated question. Keep it concise.
Yes.
Please explain to me what the fuck Bitcoin is.
Bitcoin is a currency that is not sponsored by any government. It is a self-contained currency. It bases its value off of a cryptographic algorithm, and its value derives from the scarcity of the tokens that it produces.
Are the tokens physical things or virtual things?
They are all virtual. In fact, I was just reading an article today.
It's basically a game of that crystal thing, what that game was. It would have been a funny joke if I had come to that thing, gem, where you're collecting gems, whatever that thing was that everybody was crazy. Crystal Crush or Fuck Me Crush.
Candy Crush.
Candy Crush. So it's basically it's a Candy Crush, except it's values.
Not really. It's...
I don't understand. I so badly don't understand this.
It is just now you're getting into money and I don't understand this, but how it has been explained to me is that the value of most money is tied back to, let's say, GDP of a country or the gold reserves of that country or some other value that is set by some economic force in that country. Whereas Bitcoin's value is set by its scarcity and its demand. So it is a free market coin, but the cryptographic basis on which it is based, that doesn't make any sense. The cryptographic algorithm on which it is based makes it highly secure.
You are once again, you're freezing.
You can't spoof it. You can't.
Can you hear me, darling?
Well, I'm sorry.
You're freezing and unfreezing. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. What?
I said yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm freezing.
Okay, you don't need to apologize, my darling. It is something technical that has nothing to do with you.
Yes, and no one will hear it because we record independently, so it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And basically what that leads me to is I don't want to know about Bitcoin. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to be involved with it. If I can't understand it in a couple of sentences, forget about it.
Yeah.
Don't have the time anymore. I'm too old. The clock is fucking ticking. Now, speaking of idiots.
Yes.
How about the moron with the horns? With the Viking horns.
So he is the Q shaman.
Ah.
what's his name? Jake Angeli is his real name. It, the funny thing about this is that he...
If there's something funny about
this. Oh, no, I find it hilarious. Yes. You know, I do listen to the QAnon Anonymous podcast, which are the,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I've talked about
how
this
before.
How
do you stomach that shit?
Hold on. The QAnon Anonymous podcast is a bunch of liberal people who follow QAnon and then expose the idiocracy of it. And they go to all the rallies and interview people and, you know, just to kind of expose what the hell is going on with this whole Q movement. Anyway, the QAnon Anonymous podcast has been talking about this Q shaman for months now. He's been at all the main Q rallies and everything. So when the right wing basically, oh, he's Antifa, he's not one of us, it was so demonstrably false because this guy is like a staple at these Q rallies and whatnot. It's like people want to get their pictures made with him. He has 600,000 followers on Instagram, right? He's the Q shaman. And that's actually the first topic on the board here.
Really?
I put up on the board here a little card called Deflated Creators.
Deflated Creators.
So here's the, what's the word I'm looking for? The pitch, or here's the sitch. Here's what I was thinking when I wrote that.
Here's the concept?
Yeah, here's the concept. Thank you. He, like it or not, is a creator. He's a performance artist. He's a Instagram influencer, whatever, however you want to put it. He creates content. And his payment for it is adulation. And if he gets famous enough, you know, royalty and money from his Instagram followers or however that works.
Adulation.
Right. So that is his payment. And he really is into this, right? He is the Q, he like the QAnon Anonymous people were talking about the fact that he just loves standing there. You know, he'll stand there like Elizabeth Warren. He'll stand there till every single person in line gets their photo taken with him and he signs whatever autographs. And he just loves doing this. I don't think he has a real job outside of this.
He has bigger tits than Elizabeth Warren.
So if you think of him as a creator and you think of the guy that walked out with Nancy Pelosi's podium, who's been at several different Q rallies before, if you think of all these people just as performance artists, they're creating things and they're getting adulation for it.
You know, that guy who took the podium, his lawyer is not going to allow him to speak in court.
Nor should he.
Because he's not going to allow him to take the stand.
I see what you did there. That's very funny. In the way of deflated creators, you are a creator.
I am.
I'm a creator. And
I only have one creator, and that's our Lord God.
I was thinking about this today when I wrote this on the board. I was like, I know how it feels to spend time and energy creating something and then having it shot down. Like, you're like, oh, you know what? I did this thing, and they're going to love it. I came up with this new design or this new idea, and, you know, oh, my God, I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to jump into it. Everyone's going to love this, and then you pitch it to your people, and they're just like, that shit. And you know what I'm saying? You feel...
Yes, you feel deflated.
Deflated. So I'm thinking about these guys that immediately, like within hours, as soon as the senators and congresspeople can get back to microphones, they were calling them Antifa and calling them...
I know.
Matt Gaetz is sitting there calling the Q shaman. There's fucking pictures of Matt Gaetz giving him a blowjob at Q rallies. I mean, it's like these guys are not unknown to each other. And I'm thinking that A, really must have deflated the guy to realize just how quickly they're going to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I was thinking, what's the limit of this? Because you can, you know, this isn't a James Bond film, right? You can only screw people over so many times before they're like, no, fuck you. I'm not doing this anymore, right? It's like, if they're screwing over all of these rabid fans of their movement so easily, how much longer do you think they're going to stick around in their movement?
I have no answer to that question. Partially because none of this makes any sense. None of it has made any logical sense at all to me. Most especially the rabid, sticking with Trump.
Yeah.
The
rightful winner of the election.
I don't understand it.
Look, here's the thing.
The loyalty. There's the word I was looking
because
for.
Because he's the chosen one. As Q has pointed out to them that he is the chosen one, that hey. Trump is going to hey. Usher in.
Sorry, that was my dog barking.
Yes, I know. Trump is going to usher in a new era where all of the child molesting, adrenochrome drinking Democrats are going to get
what was that
arrested.
Part? What was that? Adrenochrome?
Oh, you don't know about the adrenochromes. So do you remember Pizzagate from a long time ago where the guy showed up in a pizza restaurant with an automatic rifle demanding to see the cellar where all the children were being kept that Hillary Clinton was killing?
I do indeed. Yeah. Yes.
That's a real thing in the Q movement. Their belief is that high-powered shadow government people, what do they call them? The deep state. So high, you know, the people that run the world derive their power by killing children and drinking their blood, which gives them something called adrenochromes, which keeps them young and alive. So
are you shitting me?
I'm not. You're not. This is the belief of the QAnon crowd. And I'm not making this up. I swear I'm not making this up. You can Google this. But the so
God, now I know what to do with the three little boys next door.
So here you have and they cannot be swayed against it. No matter how many medical doctors will tell them, it's like, well, you really can't drink blood of other people. It isn't going to work that way. Like if there was something in their blood, drinking it wouldn't give it to you.
I can't.
You'd have to have like a transfusion and you'd have to have the right blood type and there would be a whole thing. And of course, a little infant is not going to have enough blood to fill up a human being. So that's kind of a stupid idea. Anyway, they believe that this, and what they believe is that Donald Trump has been anointed because he is so powerful and independent of the shadow state that he and he alone are going to expose them and they're all going to get arrested and taken. So all these child molesters are going to get taken to jail. So as the Q movement gained popularity, they started...
They're child drinkers. They're not child molesters right. unless they
Well, they're pedophiles,
their-
whatever. But they as their Q movement gained notoriety, as it gained followers, Facebook started shutting down their groups and, you know, Twitter started suspending accounts. So they switched their tactics to start talking about Save the Children rally. So it's like when you see these big Save the Children rallies that are happening everywhere, QAnon.
I can't even believe this shit.
Yes, I swear to you. So,
oh my God.
So if you believe that the world is being run by the deep state, communist, child molesting,
big tech,
whatever. And you believe that Trump was the chosen one, chosen by God to go in and do this. And you have this anonymous, highly placed, supposedly source named Q, who just occasionally posts on a thing called 8chan. Do you know what 8chan is?
I have no idea. Is
it's
Q
a message.
Supposed to be a person?
Yes, Q is a person. He signs off with his name Q. And
is he a real person or is this just a manufactured, a lot of people doing
we
Q?
We don't
or,
know, right? But they believe it's a real person. They believe, that's the only thing that matters, is they believe it is a real person who has real inside information. But he puts out these, what they call a Q drop, which is when he puts out a message for them to
he takes a shit
to dissect.
Q drop.
And it is very Nostradamus, kind of, you know, it's so vaguely written that it could be anything, and they latch onto these things. And one of their deepest held beliefs is that there is a storm coming, that the moment when the deep state is exposed is the coming storm, and that Trump is going to lead them there. So there were a lot of people there on January 6th that honestly believed that their part in history was to keep those ballots from being counted on the floor of the Congress so that Trump could remain in power to expose the deep space, deep state. That they,
even, yes, Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. So they believe this is their belief system. And you listen, I unlike a lot of people, I listen to some of these crazy podcasts and whatnot. And I also, I would highly recommend listening to QAnon Anonymous, which is not a crazy podcast. That is actually some very well-read individuals. I forget their name right now. There's a trio of guys that have done this podcast for the last 5 years tracking QAnon. And it's a fascinating listen to listen to the QAnon Anonymous podcast.
Once again, I am repeating myself to, I can't, you used to use the term grok.
Yes.
I can't grok any of that.
I wrap your brain around it.
But I will tell you this, and this is not a slam at religion, but maybe it is a slam at religion. There are hundreds of thousands of millions of people who believe there's a father in the sky looking out for you. And all the rules you have to follow and all this. So why is that any different than people believing that there's a guy?
There's not.
Q.
Yeah. There's not a lot of difference.
There isn't any difference. Now, as far as getting.
Yeah. It's reinforced by being around that, you know, they have a community and that this community reinforces those rules.
That's how religious, that's how religion does it too. You got, if you're standing in the middle of the room and you're saying, no, I don't believe this. Mm-hmm. And you got 900 people around you saying, we believe this. Pretty soon you're just going to break down and say, okay. But I love the fact that, like you said earlier, immediately they get thrown under the bus when they're, it's obvious they're not Antifa.
Yeah.
None of these people are Antifa, but that's the angle that the right took because that's what was going to save their ass. And not only that, as they're getting arrested left and right, their Lord God Almighty, the orange one, came out and said he absolutely condemns what went on and these people are not part of us. So they got thrown under the bus by the big guy too. Mm-hmm. And now they're not only under the bus, but they're bent over a shower getting it up the ass without much lubrication because they're all going to go to jail.
While still making excuses for him. They dissect Trump's video that he made where he denounced the violence of going like, you notice when he said new administration, he never mentioned Biden's name. That's a code to us that he's going to be the next administration and he's still fighting for us. And he's still going to do this thing. It's like the FBI came out with a report today that very accurately, in my opinion, stated that after Biden is inaugurated on the 20th, there's going to be a lot of very disillusioned, brainwashed people out there that are going to be very upset because their worldview has been shattered because they honestly believe that something is going to happen between now and the 20th that will keep Trump as the president of the United States and that, you know, Joseph Biden will be taken to jail as the pedophile, adrenochrome drinking pedophile that he is.
Oh, can I have a big, I'd like a double.
I don't want to say, I am simplifying all this. I am, you know, watering this down for the sake of like trying to have a conversation about this because it goes so much deeper than that. There's so many crazy little twists and turns along their path here. It's crazy. And they have a lot of equivalents to religion, right? They have their Joel Osteens, they have their Kenneth Copelands, they have their people that are seizing upon the beliefs of all these things and making bank off of them, right? The clip that I played you last week in the show of the guy in the rally in DC that's basically going, Trump won. You know, he organizes these rallies. He makes quite a comfortable living organizing these rallies and collecting a lot of money.
Well, I would say this, that
I say we're in the wrong business. I say, let's just rework this podcast.
Yes.
To talk about adrenochromes and children and the coming storm. And we also allow people to hit our PayPal.
Now, what's really great for me, now with this new knowledge mm-hmm. of how I can heal my own body, mm-hmm. I got three little boys next door and two little girls across the street. So I got at least a couple of months worth of adrenochromal stuff.
I'm gonna caution you against that because I feel like California children don't have it. You need some good German adrenochromes. Like you need to go find some German children. They have really strong adrenochromes.
Oh, I didn't realize that the German children have fucked. You know, this is all terrifying. And
yes, it is.
And one of the things that I talked about put on the Trello was that adult fears versus childhood fears, that we could compare when we were kids what was scary and as adults what's scary. This definitely falls into the scary shit, but I also feel very strongly that we should not allow we should not allow that fear to fog reality, because oftentimes being afraid of something is worse than the something itself. Many, many, many times.
Yeah.
Neither one of us thought, even, well, you may be more than I, but I never thought anything would happen like it happened on that Wednesday with the Capitol and the breaking and the going and the doing.
Oh, you can go back to our last show where I said, and I'm paraphrasing, I said, oh, they're not going to do anything. They're just a bunch of barkers. They're not going to actually do anything.
They really showed themselves not to be anything but idiots and animals. Yeah. But I don't want to think because that happened that a lot of people are saying, Michael Moore, even, who I respect quite a bit, said that this was just a dress rehearsal. This was just a dry run. And I don't believe that. And I don't believe that something bigger is going to happen. And I don't want the fear. That's why I tend to stay away from media and stay away from listening to things and watching things, and why I don't know what QAnon is or adrenochromes or Bitcoin, because I just don't want to read about it. I don't want to know from it. But I don't want fear to become a motivating factor in my life. And I think, especially in the times that we're living in right now, that it's very easy to be frightened. It's very easy to be afraid. It is almost a default position, a position of fear. I mean, you can't go outside without putting a mask on and not getting too close to people and worrying about what you're touching. That we are living in a time of fear that is being propagated by the bad guys. And there are bad guys in this scenario, without a doubt. Bad self-involved, self-aggrandizing, self-centered bad guys that do not care what comes out of their mouth.
We have the best bad guys. We have the best villains.
They don't care about anything but self-promotion, but the taking care of themselves. And pandering to the orange shit stains lunatic base, that's all that was done with the contrary votes in the House.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they did that is to show his base,
right,
that they're good guys.
Yep.
And when they want to start running for shit or for president or for whatever, hey, they got a great base going on.
Yeah, especially when you look at the guy from Arizona, the senator from Arizona that objected to the Arizona ballot. Right? He was the senator from Arizona. Yet,
okay,
it's like, wait, if you're saying that the ballots from Arizona were suspect, weren't you elected on those same ballots? I don't hear you talking about how you...
Absolutely. It's only a certain part of the ballot.
Right, only the part of the ballot you don't agree with. Yeah, exactly.
So back to my point, I don't want to live in fear. Mm-hmm. And my, you know, when I originally thought of this topic, it was much lighter, because when I wrote this topic, it was pre-March. I believe it was pre-March, and March is when the COVID shit hit the fan. And I wanted to speak to, when I was little, when I was a kid, the thing that terrified me the most was being away from my mother. And I was very afraid of being alone with my father. Mm-hmm. But I was most afraid of monsters. I was afraid. I knew there's no such thing as Frankenstein's monster. And I know there's no such thing as the Wolfman. But when my job was to take the trash to the curb when it was trash night, and we had those big steel galvanized trash cans. I don't know if you young kids ever had steel trash cans. Have you always had plastic wheeled trash cans?
As a child, we had galvanized.
Okay, we had the that had a handle on each side, and you drug it down the driveway to the curb, and it would make sparks on the asphalt because you're dragging it at night and it's sparking.
Anyone under the age of 30 that's listening, it's those props that the group Stomp uses on stage to make drums.
Yeah, exactly. But big one, a big silver galvanized trash cans with big lids.
Yeah.
So my job was to take those down to the curb. And I wasn't a little kid. I was 10, 11, 12, around there. But I was afraid of There could be the Wolfman. It's unlikely that the Wolfman is out there, but there could be a Wolfman. So as a child, I was afraid of things fears that have continued for me. I'm terrified of doctors. I'm terrified of the dentist, even though I go every 6 months to the dentist. I've done that for my teeth's sake. Mm-hmm. But I don't go to a doctor unless something's hanging by a thread and bleeding. I don't like doctors, medicine, anything. It terrifies me. And it did as a little kid too. But it's still with me. I think my adulthood fears really revolve now around Drew's and my health, worrying about if you can pay the bills or not, worrying about with the money, where the money, you know, the job, the money, those are adulthood fears that I think are kind of a universal situation. So I would be interested in hearing what you were afraid of as a little boy, and if any of those have carried through into your adulthood, and what your adulthood fears are.
I, as a little boy, was scared of girls. No, I'm kidding. I was.
Well, you're still.
Yeah, I'm still scared of girls. No, I was scared of deep water.
Okay.
We grew up with a lake house where we used to go out skiing on the weekends and in the summer. And if I was out in the middle of the lake and, you know, like dove in to go swimming out in the middle of the lake, I was convinced Jaws had come out at some point, right? Even though it was a freshwater lake, I'm convinced that there was something underneath there, underwater, that was going to, you know, come up and grab me and pull me under. So I was always very scared of really deep water that I couldn't see.
Like, but you went into it still.
Yeah, I did. I went into it. But it scared the hell out of me. One of the scariest things I ever had to do was when I was in Boy Scouts, the swimming merit badge required you to swim a mile.
Ouch.
So, and most people do it in swimming pools, right? They'll just like, that's 300 laps or whatever it is that right. makes up a mile in a swimming pool. But my scoutmaster, because we had a lake house and he was up there with us, he's like, well, this lake is, you know, 2 miles long. So I need you to swim out to the middle there and then turn around and swim back. And that'll be about a mile. So I had to swim in our lake, like out to the middle of our lake and back. And that was so, I was just, you know, telling myself as I'm swimming, not to, you know,
you're going to be okay.
Just keep moving. They can't get you if you keep moving. You can't give it. And I was a very strong swimmer. I was like, I live in Florida. I was on the swim team. We had a lake. So I swam a lot. So it wasn't like I was a dog paddler or whatever. I was a very strong swimmer. So it just terrified the hell out of me. I think even today, when I was on our cruise and I was looking out in the ocean, in the really deep waters of the ocean there, I was got a little chill, you know, like, ooh, I wouldn't want to be down there. That's
yeah, it is when we look out on the ocean on that ship and think we're very lucky that we're on this ship and not floating in that ocean. That would be terrifying. Mm-hmm. Were there any, see, that's kind of almost illogical, not that something's going to reach up and grab you, but yeah. It's an understandable that you'd be nervous, fearful of the water. Did you have any just illogical, irrational kinds of fears when you were little?
Not that I can remember, although you saying that, you know, taking out the garbage made you scared in the dark. It's like, I can remember that. I can remember walking back in very quickly after I took the garbage out, you know.
Yes, I ran.
Being out in the middle of the street and mm-hmm. walking. But I grew up in a very small town where I knew almost everyone knew me, certainly. And I guess I just didn't really have a lot of those fears. I don't know. I can't think of the water is the only one that I can really think of. And I've thought about it for as well. I'll probably, as soon as we're done with this show, I'll go like, oh my God.
Well,
it was, you know, eating pickled beets. That scared the hell out of me, but no, I can't think of it.
Well, what about adulthood fears, Daniel?
My adulthood fears are pretty normal. You know, financial stability, making sure that the roof doesn't collapse, you know, stupid things like that, that my car doesn't blow up. I'm have this weird fear, and it's not a big fear, but it's just this concern that, you know, now that the FBI is fanning out across the country trying to find people that were at this rally, I keep thinking to myself, like, what if they show up here? What if there's someone that looks like me that was at the rally? How can I prove that I wasn't there? It's like, what was I doing that day that left a trace that I could be like, no, I was here. Look.
Yeah. Well, that's such a product of the time that we're living.
Yeah.
Of what you're experiencing, that would be something that you would be even remotely concerned about.
Yeah. I am concerned about an attack on the 20th. I am concerned that there will be some attempt at something on Inauguration Day. And there's nothing I can do about it. I was also really, really nervous when Obama gave his acceptance speech after he won his first term. And it's like, oh my God, he's out in the open. He's just out in the open with his kids. Oh my God, this is going to be horrible. You know, something's going to happen. But it didn't. And hopefully I'll get past next Tuesday with nothing happening. Is it Tuesday?
I don't know when the 20th is. I could ask my device.
It's next Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have one more show before the inauguration.
Yes. Before the very joyful day, whether or not it is clouded in fear is what I said before, which it is. It is clouded. It has a fearful cloud hanging over it.
I would not be upset if Kamala wasn't there. I would not be upset if Kamala was being kept in a secure location until after the inauguration, just in case something did happen. But
that would be, you know, that would be so giving in to the cretins. So when you wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. When I do wake up.
Before you put on your makeup.
Yes.
Do you say a little prayer for me?
I don't.
No, you know, no, not when you wake up. I'm going to take that back. So I'm taking that back.
Mm-hmm.
When you're laying in bed, going to sleep, what plagues your mind? Or do you have things that plague your mind?
Usually not. And this is a case where my tinnitus works in my favor because I always have some news podcast playing. So I have something that I can listen to that I'm paying attention to instead of being in my head.
Ruminating instead of
ruminating. And I feel like most of the times that I'm nervous at night are things that are work related. Like, oh shit, that's due on Wednesday and I haven't done the first goddamn thing about it. It's like, how am I going to handle that tomorrow? I'm going to have a meeting on this and I'm totally not prepared. Like, what am I going to say? And you know, those kind of things. That's stupid things.
Practical. What's interesting, and I just thought of this in this moment, when one has practical things to be worried about or concerned about, and that's a practical thing, mm-hmm. one's mind doesn't have a lot of time to manufacture things to be afraid of.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of practical, I have no practical, very little practical responsibility. I don't have practical responsibilities. I don't have practical obligations. I don't have a lot of practical stuff going on. So what I tend to do when I'm unable to sleep, and I have a sound machine as opposed to a listening to podcasts, so I play white noise, and that helps with my tinnitus. What I tend to do, excuse me,
why is it gotta be white?
Because black noise has too much rhythm, and it keeps me awake. It's gotta be a solid, you know.
Well played.
Yes. You know, there's such a thing as black noise. There's black noise, white noise, and
brown
some other
noise, which is the brown, one that makes you poop, right?
Brown, yes. Well, that's the brown note, which was disproved on MythBusters. Okay. Anyway, I tend to manufacture things to worry about, and I remember speaking about, I think it was to my sister, when you have children, which we do not, when you have children, your life is so involved with concerned about their health, their well-being, what's going on in their lives, that you don't have a lot of time at my age or younger to be so worried and concerned about your own life. You are really thinking about others. We don't have that distraction. We do have our four-legged kids, and one's going through hell right now, but it isn't the same kind of, they're not going to school. They're not going out there. They're sitting here. I'm probably belaboring the point, but I really, when I initially thought about this topic, is I wanted to see if anything that was fearful as a child carried through for you, and if your any, you have any adulthood fears that, that are, you would consider crippling in any way, or, even bothersome in any way. That was the original concept. And I think I got a view into Daniel's, I don't think you're a very fearful person. I don't think you have a lot of fears.
I mean, practical fears, but no, I don't have a lot of irrational fears, I guess.
And the fears to me seem more like concerns.
Yeah.
You have, you know, any, whoever. Okay. So I saw that you shifted a Trello topic.
I did, because we're getting close, and yeah, I just wanted to say, even though we have another show before the inauguration of Joseph Biden.
Yes.
We do not have another show before Martin Luther King Day. Are you going to do anything special on Martin Luther King Day? It is a banner year for me, because this is the first year that my company has decided to take off. After all the Black Lives Matter things that happened over the summer.
It's about fucking time.
We adopted a whole new policy at work, and we are now taking off not only MLK Day, but we're also taking off Juneteenth. We have dropped Good Friday, and we're taking off Juneteenth and Martin Luther King Day.
That is fantastic.
I know, and I applaud
that. That is really, really fantastic. No, we do not do anything special, except raise our heads and bow our heads in sorrow for what's going on in the world, and how devastating it would be to him to see all, you know, there was so much project progress made, and then it seems like we've just backslidden into hell.
It does. And in pre-show today, we were talking about the Joy Reid, how she was talking about the protesters, and how the embodiment of white privilege is just being able to walk up to a line of cops and be like, ah, fuck you, you're a big traitor. You know, it's like, that's not something that a black person is going to do.
No, not without getting killed.
Yeah.
So, but not wanting to end on that sad note,
would you rather end on this note?
What? I'm sorry, huh?
You said a sad note, and so I sang a different note.
Oh, okay. A happy note. Mm. No, we're not going to do anything special. Drew is not going to take the day off, or he may be taking the day off. I don't know.
He normally doesn't work on Monday, right? Doesn't he normally work
Tuesday? You're absolutely right. He didn't work on Monday anyway, so... Gosh, look at that. You know it. You know it. I don't know it. Okay. Maybe I'll make some soul food of some kind in honor of the man, wonderful, incredible man who ended up losing his life because of doing the right thing. Oh, let's just be happy.
It's so fun. I'm going to be going to, we're going to be at Animal Kingdom. Disney's Animal Kingdom on Martin Luther King Day. This was normally going, we were supposed to be there with Scott Sater, our level 13 listener, Scott Sater.
Level 13.
He's not going to be there. So I think I'm going to make a little Scott the Sater puppet and take it with me and just take a lot of pictures of it in the park.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
So if you want to see that, it'll be in the level 13 Discord. So you should join level 13. Yeah, exactly.
And how do they join level 13, Daniel?
Well, you know, level 13 is our behind the scenes club. We also post all the audio from our pre-shows and our post-shows for both this show and Mix Minus. It's a whole bunch of extra content that you get every single week with your own little RSS feed for absolutely free. All you have to do is send us an email and say, hey, I want to join level 13. So listen at the end of the show here. I believe it's Drew's week, or is it Zach's week? One of them will read you the email address. Just send us an email there and say, I want to be a member of level 13.
And we actually did get a new member of level 13. I think two new members of level 13. Two new members of level 13, I believe.
We did. Bob joined level 13 and Scotty joined level 13.
Well, welcome to level 13, level 13, level 13.
Goodbye.
Does that wrap it up, baby?
I think it does. Goodbye, Scott.
It has always been wonderful. Goodbye, Daniel.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email us, contact@thatdarnelvis.com, or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AuntieVera, and Daniel is at Daniel Brewer.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.